Hey,
great
to
see you all. We have a screen that tells us how many people are live right now with us, and I saw we have 11. So I said we almost have as many as Jesus had. Judas Iscariot has already left the table.
He left the building.
You should tell him what you think was wrong with the microphone.
Yeah, what do you think was wrong with the microphone?
We fixed the microphone. So we're starting over. I'm glad we fixed it. The microphone was backwards.
Yeah, I was turned around.
So, always got to face the right direction. I think it sounds better now. Awesome.
So anyway, Pastor Heather, Pastor Aaron.
Yeah, thanks for watching us live. We know we have online people connecting all around the country, all around the world. We've already had a few people. Someone from Kenya is watching. They said hello. Dakota, who travels a lot for his work. He's watching from San Diego. He helps a lot when he's here in person. He, I think, famously grilled around 1,000 hot dogs for our youth ministry a few years ago to help the youth raise funds.
Was that for the concession stand?
That was for Reawaken America.
Oh, yeah.
We provided the food for that in Dakota, I think, personally. It was probably several thousand hot dogs.
We should get him a plaque for that.
He should get a plaque. He should get a trophy. And when he's here in town, he always helps us with the youth ministry.
It's a huge blessing.
Huge blessing. So, yeah, hello to everyone. And we know a lot of people watch this after the fact, too. So even if you're watching after the fact, feel free to leave questions, leave comments, just say hello.
Oh, my gosh, he grilled 2,300
hot dogs.
Oh, my gosh.
I think his entire arms turned, like, red from the sun and the heat of the grill. Yeah, that was during COVID. Our church hosted a big conference called Reawaken America, and our church was packed out with several thousand people. Like, people were parked.
We just, like, let them borrow the building, basically.
We let them borrow the building.
And they kind of did their thing, and
just
it was insane.
Just for people who are awake to what was going on in America, and, hey, we need to open things up, and we shouldn't be shut down for eternity.
It was crazy. There were cars, like, lined up down the road outside the church. Do you remember that? Driving up to the church and there were just cars everywhere.
Yeah.
Both sides. And there was, like, standing room only in the sanctuary. In our sanctuary seats, how many?
1,500 people.
1,500 people. It was insane.
And the whole foyer was packed out with people, too. So really, really awesome. And it was really cool that Dakota was there to help grill these hot dogs and make the youth, I think, over $10,000. We actually used that to buy an LED wall for the chapel, which we've put to good use.
Yeah, we have.
Just a couple weeks ago, we had a big worship night for the youth there in the chapel, and, and that LED wall makes it really, really cool. But we had 80 students here, and six got saved that night. Of those 80 students, 20 were here for the first time. But six got saved, another 10 rededicated their lives, and it was just a very impactful evening.
It was great.
Just awesome things are happening.
Yeah.
Just this past Sunday, we actually had a very famous YouTuber here come speak to the youth. The infamous Swoosh. He has 1.5 million subscribers on YouTube.
You should go check him out, too.
Yeah, check him out.
You don't know who we're talking about.
His latest video was really cool. We actually showed it to the students because it tells his story. He's just in his lower 20s, and he's been on YouTube 10 years, but he kind of tells a story about how he got started when he was
14.
And we had several students who were 14, and they were all very inspired by his story. And he's a very strong believer, and we did a Q&A, and he talked about just how important his faith in Jesus is to him, and it was very inspiring. And it's cool. He was just here on a Sunday morning speaking to our youth. So God is on the move with every generation.
Yeah. But anyway, we are just as excited about our online people, our remote people.
Yes.
So we're expecting that you are going to be blessed today. You're going to be filled up. Your cup's going to be filled up.
Right? Yeah. And this topic is going to be great for everyone. We have an official title for this message. And if you have any questions, too, as we're discussing,
you might think
or just want to say hi, you're welcome to post those questions. We have a helper here, Natalie. Natalie, you might know her if you watch our church online, but she sings a lot at church. She's 20 years old. She sings quite a bit, so you probably have seen her on the live stream singing. But she is recently hired at our church here part-time. She's finishing up her third-year ministry school at Caris Bible College, but she is our ministry assistant.
Praise the Lord.
Helping with worship.
Praise the Lord. It's been a long time coming.
And youth.
Ministry assistant.
Yeah. So she's here moderating, you know, the comments, and we'll be sure to reply and help direct
traffic.
Traffic online. But we actually, I just helped her start her own nonprofit ministry, Natalie Sherwood Ministries. So she has already been invited to speak at different churches, and has grown a lot in her 3 years here helping at the church. But she's here to help as well. But we're going to be talking the topic,
I think this,
the official title.
First of all, before you talk about the topic, I think this is a conversation that would even be great for people to talk to their kids about.
Yes.
Big time.
Everyone. Even I actually mentioned a little bit of this to my dad's
staff meeting.
So just my dad, his assistant, Chrissy, Caleb, who's over all of our media.
So it's like good for
Jaren,
all
Jaren, who's over our office,
ages.
And I'm over like the ministry side of things here at the church. But I mentioned this. The title is The Comfort Zone is Not the End Zone. Mm-hmm. How so many people gravitate towards just being comfortable and really make comfort their ultimate goal.
Yeah.
But really, God calls us to get out of the comfort zone. So
yes.
The comfort zone is not the end zone. The comfort zone is not where you score points. And just how important it is to be flexible. Mm-hmm. Flexibility is so crucial. And being led by God, you have to be flexible.
Yeah. Really, the whole premise of this topic is being flexible.
Yeah.
More so probably than just being in your comfort zone.
And, you know, flexibility is so important. If you're not flexible, you'll break.
Yeah.
And
when I was in Caris Bible College, when we were getting ready for our mission trip, mm-hmm. they would say, "Blessed are the comfortable, blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken."
Mm. It's really
I just
true.
Love that because it's so true.
Well, and even Saturday night, just 2 days ago, you know, the night before church, I got in touch with this YouTuber who said he'd be there at church. And actually, the connection is our assistant here, ministry assistant Natalie, one of her best friends, Maddie, mm-hmm. who she goes to Bible college with, is dating this YouTuber. They're both from the same area of upstate New York, and he's here visiting. And we have that connection, and you know, I reached out to him, got a hold of him Saturday night, and he said he would be here. So,
but it was Saturday night at 8 p.m.
Yeah, and so I called Pastor Lawson. I just want to make sure it's okay with him, and it's something different, you know. And
well, it's very out of the box for him.
Yeah, so he was
especially
a little hesitant,
like,
at first.
I feel like especially because like their generation, and I'm not like against this by no means, but they're like, no iPads, no technology, no games, you need to go play outside, which I do agree with.
Yeah.
So like when we said we want to bring in this YouTuber guy, what did he say?
I can't even remember. He was just a little bit hesitant about it.
Well, he's also, you need to know about Pastor Lawson, he's not a night person. At
yeah,
8 PM,
and
he's
it's good, and we
tired.
We know more details too, and
yeah.
and so details help. So actually, you know, it all worked out. Everything worked out, mm-hmm. but
he had to be flexible.
Sometimes it takes time to open up and realize I need to be more flexible with.
But
certain
he
ways
did, and he was.
Yeah, like, but even he reminded me because I mentioned this topic in our staffing this morning, the importance of being flexible in ministry. Mm-hmm. And he mentioned to me earlier Saturday in the day, he called me asking me about something. And I was kind of inflexible at first about
you,
it.
He reminded you, huh?
Well, and I'll tell everyone watching what it was about. But he asked me about investing some of our church funds in cryptocurrency.
Yeah.
So, and it's a very small amount. And generally, when you're investing funds for an institution, it's good to do it in, you know, pretty tried and true things. So, and I know some people are into crypto, some people aren't, that's fine. But at first I was kind of hesitant towards it, but then I actually looked up what other large nonprofits do, like big universities with multi-billion dollar endowments, and it is becoming more normal to invest a small portion, like less than 1% of the total, you know, fund, the total endowment in some type of crypto type fund. So it is somewhat.
So you got over yourself and you were
flexible.
I did.
Yeah.
That's good.
But, and again, it's not like I'm going to put all my money in.
No.
Yeah.
Gold.
Yeah. Or in one
but
thing.
But I will say gold Anyway, this whole podcast is not even about any of this.
But that's good. Yeah, don't put all of your investments in one certain thing. That's actually unscriptural.
Yeah, don't do that.
Ecclesiastes has a lot of great investing advice, and it says don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Basically
is what the Bible says about investing. So flexibility.
All right.
Blessed are the flexible, for they shall not be broken. Yeah. Sometimes people over spiritualize certain things that they shouldn't, and they're saying, well, I'm not going to compromise. But compromise is different than flexibility. Compromise is dealing with absolute truth. So compromise, you don't want to compromise or surrender a principal truth, foundational doctrine, command from God, in order to gain acceptance, avoid pressure, or get an easier outcome. That's what compromise is, when you surrender.
So surrendering a principal truth or a command from God in order to gain acceptance, avoid pressure, or get an easier outcome.
Yeah, that's what compromise would be. Yeah. So we're not talking about the need to be flexible.
Yeah.
So you don't compromise. You know, and a key sign of compromising means that a truth is weakened or abandoned. Flexibility means you can adjust your methods, your approaches, or your personal preferences while still honoring God's truth and purpose. Now, this is such an important topic too, and a lot of people, they're just inflexible and they get very religious about it.
Yeah.
And usually it's related to personal preference. So I have I oversee the worship ministry at our church. We have two fantastic worship leaders and a really awesome worship team. I have personal preferences. You know, I have a background in classical music. I love Bach. I love Brahms. And a lot of them wrote great sacred music. You know, Bach actually wrote tons and tons of hymns and sacred music and like mini operas for the church. I love that stuff. To me, it's like some of the most beautiful music ever written for the church. But if you come to Charis Christian Center, you don't usually hear Bach. You don't hear us singing, you know, hymns with an organ in German. And I actually would love that. Personally, I think it would be really cool.
It's probably be amongst the minority.
Amongst the minority, but
that's okay.
I have to be flexible.
Yeah.
Because it's not about me. It's not about my preference. Mm-hmm. So I actually have to be submissive.
Yeah.
So sometimes I have to submit my own preference, my own methods for the body of believers that's here.
Yeah.
And even, you know, 2 years ago, Pastor Heather and I stepped into the role of pastoring our youth ministry. And I've been pastoring now for 10 years. For the first 8 years, I preached on Wednesday nights. So Wednesday nights, I enjoyed a lot. That's like your super saints that come to church on Wednesday night. They want the deep stuff, the nitty gritty stuff, you know, and I love doing that. Go full on ultra deep teacher mode. But when I started doing youth ministry, I had to shift how I preached because, you know, these students, they don't need the original Hebrew and the Greek and all this. They need the word of God, but they need it in a way with a method that they can really receive it. So I actually shaved down how long I even teach. I don't teach a full 45-minute lesson. I just do like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Because they have to be able to receive it. So I actually, even though I'm in a higher role at the church, I have to submit to those students because the goal is to minister to them.
Yeah.
So flexibility means you do have this attitude that you're willing to yield sometime. We're going to talk about that. That's really important in Scripture, this willingness to yield.
Yeah.
And sometimes people, they just don't have much wiggle room in their preferences, in their methods, in some things that aren't.
Yeah, like flexibility involves the method.
Yeah.
Yeah, of doing things.
Yeah, and God can work outside of your box, too.
I would venture to say God always works outside of my box.
Because then he knows. You have to know it's him.
Yeah, anytime I've ever, like, God's ever done something in my life, it's never been the way I thought he was going to do it. Never.
Yeah.
And you would think, like, I would realize that from time to time and, like, not get hung up. So what happens is when you think God has to do something a certain way, then you get irritated and you feel like you have to control the situation, which makes you rigid, you know?
Yeah.
and not flexible. And then that just leads into a whole host of other things. But when you can trust that God is going to work it out, God's going to do it in his own way, then you can just rest, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah. I was just thinking about different terms. You know, Heather actually, I don't know what time you woke up this morning, like 4 a.m., 3 a.m., 4 a.m., but you had several pages of notes in your journal that you took pictures of, sent to me, and I kind of put together our notes for this.
Yeah. But I'm looking at it. You did pretty good.
I mean, yeah, as I was, you know, taking your notes from your journal and inserting some of my own ideas, I was just thinking about different terms used throughout Scripture, Old Testament, New Testament.
Yeah.
How flexibility is so important, and how a lot of people don't really talk about it. But, mm-hmm. you know, the Bible talks about being stiff-necked.
Mm.
And it's never in a pleasant.
It's never a good thing.
And as I'm approaching the big 4-0, you're already there.
40. You're approaching 40.
Your body can get a little bit more.
I'm way more flexible than he is. Okay, at 41, he's 39.
But
you're the stiff necked one.
I remember one time you had a. we had to take you to the chiropractor because your neck
my
was
neck
stiff.
Did get stiff, but that was before I turned 40.
I think I called you like crick neck or something.
You did call me crick neck.
So the Bible says you're stiff-necked, crick neck.
I want to know who is the Jedi person. I need to know your real name. Is that Mike?
Chandler.
Is it Chandler? No. In the very bottom.
Oh, I see Chandler's here too.
Okay, anyway. Hey, Chandler. Hey, Michelle. I know, it was way early. I didn't really want to get up that early, but my body had other plans, so... Anyway,
but the Bible, some negative terms, yeah, stiff-necked, being or hard-hearted, hard-hearted, and I actually just recently, God put this parable on my heart about new wineskins, and you know, a new wineskin, you need new wineskins for the new wine because it's still flexible.
Yeah,
you know, as the wine ages, as a wineskin ages, the old wineskin gets hard.
Mm.
You know, like I've been into.
I don't know much about
it. I'm into different things. I have different hobbies. Watches is one of my hobbies, but also I like leather jackets now. And I look for high-end leather jackets, you know, on eBay. And if leather jackets aren't treated over the period of time, they'll get dry and start cracking.
These leather jackets can stand up by themselves. He will, like, you make them stand
some,
up.
And some of the new ones are that way. They haven't been broken in yet. Yeah. They're not flexible. That's a word, too. Some people just need to get... broken in.
That sounds terrible.
To be a little more flexible.
That sounds terrible.
Jesus talked about the importance, and I have the...
You know what? Speaking of the broken in thing, I know, I kind of figured it was you, Mike, after a few minutes, but anyway, your picture threw me off. Anyway, speaking of being broken in,
yeah,
I feel like when I first started in ministry with you guys... that I was not flexible. And I used to get bent out of shape real big, like bad.
Uh-huh.
And I would never like act on it, but in my emotions, I would just get so bent out of shape about things. And I've realized the longer that I have like tried to renew my mind in that area by saying, okay, I can't have it my way all the time. I'm going to have to be flexible. Over time, it got easier and easier. So I could say that,
there's a time, like if you buy a high-end pair of boots, leather boots, it takes a little bit of wearing them to break them in.
Yeah.
Same thing with a leather jacket. So some, like Heather mentioned, some of these leather jackets, they
stand up by themselves.
They stand up
we
by themselves.
Have brought one.
I have one. I have it right there. Natalie can grab it.
Grab that
leather jacket there, right next to you.
I don't think we can like get it on camera.
So we can get it on camera. I'll put it on.
No, put it on. I know it is.
Yeah. So I'll just show people. So this is one of my leather jackets.
It's like, this does not.
And it can actually like stand up on its own.
Here, put it up here.
So.
Put it back. Natalie wants to see it. Yeah. Anyway, so this, if you think this is comfortable, something's wrong.
And I'll explain this. So some people are very inflexible because they're kind of new to the Christian walk, new to marriage, new to a lot of things, and they're not, they haven't been broken in, they're not flexible.
Yeah.
And really high quality things take time to break in. This is actually a horsehide leather jacket made by one of the most, the leather comes from the top leather factory in the world. It's in Chicago. It's the Horween leather factory. And this is their patented.
We're going to get a class on leather.
Leather treatment called Chrome XL. So a Chrome XL horsehide jacket will last. It'll last 50 years if treated right, but it takes years to break in. Yeah. It actually takes time to break in. And
what do you put on that to break it in?
Yeah, I'm going to put it on.
You just conditioned it. What did you condition it with?
I put a Neat's Foot oil
on
it.
But it's oil. I think that's really interesting that you have to put oil in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The oil actually softens it.
The anointing oil.
And makes it so you can see it's starting to break in. You can see the wrinkles.
Oh yeah, oil their mitts, yeah.
Yeah, and Neat's Foot oil is the last thing that goes on this leather jacket. It actually takes 30 days for this jacket to be treated. Mm-hmm. And it goes through all five floors of this leather factory, treated on all five floors. And the oil is the last thing they put on it, and it's what you're supposed to continue to treat it with over time. But it helps it get more and more flexible.
Right. So bringing this back to what we're talking about, I think that like one thing that could keep you flexible is the oil of joy.
Yeah.
Like when you decide that you're going to draw out that joy that's a mm-hmm. fruit of the Spirit because you have joy, like it can keep you thankful. It can keep your mind pointed in the right direction. It can keep you flexible, you know?
Yeah.
Instead of becoming old crick neck.
Yeah.
There.
Yeah. And kind of looking at Luke 5, 36 through 39, I want to talk about this parable. It's a really important parable.
Okay.
Luke 5, 36 to 39. Jesus spoke a parable to them. No one puts a piece from a new garment on an old one, otherwise the new makes a tear, and also the piece that was taken out of the new does not match the old. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine will burst the wineskins and be spilled, and the wineskins will be ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins, and both are preserved. And no one, having drunk old wine, immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. So a couple of important things. God is always doing new things.
Yeah.
It's important to see what God wants to do new in your life, what he wants to do new in other people's lives.
Well, he's always wanting to do something.
He's always on the move. He's alive. He's always doing new things. So it's important to be aware of that and be sensitive to that. Mm-hmm. And he wants to have new people involved.
Yeah. Especially when you're like working with a team or you're married yeah. or like even in relation to your children. Like your children might be different than you, even different than what you expected they might be.
Yeah.
You know?
And for the new things to happen, for that new wine, that mm-hmm. new outpouring, like you have to be ready to have some new wineskins, some new methods, some new ways of thinking about things, some flexibility. The new wineskin, it's flexible.
Yeah.
And, you know, just at our church recently, yesterday, we used for the first time a brand new sound system.
Mm-hmm.
A very big deal for any church, but, you know, God's really moving at our church. There's a lot of momentum, a lot of growth. The worship team is just going to new and new levels. So
yeah.
we kind of need this new wineskin, but you have to get the new wineskin before the new wine can really be poured in there.
Mm-hmm.
But this is really important too, what Jesus says here. He says, no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new, for he says the old is better. So Jesus is saying there's something about
you need to say about, that again slower.
I'm going to say it. This yeah. is really huge.
This is really good. It's really cool that the Bible actually talks about this.
And I don't really hear, I've never heard anyone emphasize this,
yeah,
but
say
it's
it
super
again
important.
One more time.
So no one having drunk old wine immediately desires new.
Yeah.
For he says the old is better.
Mm-hmm.
So this is.
How many times have we seen this though?
This like, is so life. Normal. When
I don't like that. I like the old. I like the old. I like the old.
I like that old worship
okay.
leader. I like the old pastor. I like
remember?
The old chairs. I like the old location.
Okay, okay,
I like
wait,
the
wait,
old.
Wait. I got something to say.
Yeah.
So do you remember? So my mom used to sell cars, you know, long, long time ago. And Dodge, when they revamped their Dodge Ram truck, mm-hmm. their like motto was change is good.
Oh.
And when they revamped that, they came out with the new body. I'll never forget it, but it was change is good everywhere. And I think they did that subliminally to get people onto the right mindset of this change is actually good. So don't be looking back. Because how many people love classic cars, right?
Well, everybody look at it. Yeah, I'm thinking about like Cracker Barrel.
Oh,
think about recently.
Well, that really, let's not talk about Cracker Barrel because that change was bad.
But people are very resistant to the
but
change.
But yeah, they should have been. That was like a modern Cracker Barrel.
Timey restaurant. So for those of you who are in a leadership role at home,
yeah,
you know, moms and dads, maybe at work, in a community place, at a school, over a team, you know, at church,
mm-hmm.
just realize when you're implementing some type of change, it's good to do it with grace.
Yeah.
Because most people don't handle change well.
This
they immediately
just,
say
just like straight up wisdom,
the old is
though.
Better.
Like, yeah. Like if you grab a hold of this is just wisdom. Like,
so when
leading,
you know,
people.
When we've implemented different changes here, I've kind of learned after 10 years of being a pastor, it's good to do things with as much grace as you can.
Yeah.
And some of the changes, if you can make it more subtle versus very abrupt,
mm-hmm.
and if you don't get in line right now, then you know,
it's not going to work out.
No.
That's legalistic. Did you skip over some stuff?
I did. I kind of skipped to them, but we'll
go back
to the beginning.
Uh-huh.
So flexibility. Talking about flexibility, adjusting methods. Again, we're not talking about surrendering doctrine,
truth
we're not talking about commands
that.
From God. We're talking about adjusting methods, approaches, personal preferences, while still honoring God's truth and purpose. So I like what you said. Flexibility requires wisdom, humility, discernment,
yeah,
and a love of people.
Where are you?
I'm at the beginning of the notes.
The very beginning?
Right there.
Oh, okay. You went all the way up. I thought you were going to start here. Okay, go ahead.
It requires wisdom, humility, discernment, and love of people. So a lot of people think discernment is a gift used to like chop people off.
Yeah. Yeah.
But really the gifts, the charismatic gifts, the 9 charismatic gifts are meant for the unity of the body, for the building of the body.
Yeah.
It's not meant for like chopping people off.
Right.
So discernment is actually really required.
It's the discerning of spirits.
Yeah.
Not just bad spirits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And do you want to go on? These are from your notes. I thought you could share.
I mean, I didn't really want to like go on a big tangent about it, but it does. Flexibility does require you to have wisdom, be humble, discern different situations. And you know what? Judging situations is good. You don't judge people, but you do judge situations. And you have to love people.
Yeah.
I think it's important as a believer when you are walking in discernment that you're letting love lead you, whether you're discerning something that you think is good or something that you think might not be good. Either way, love needs to rule.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes people will say something to me. I was just talking to Aaron about this yesterday. Like people will say something and, you know, the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And God will show me something about somebody, but I don't think he shows it to me to like judge that person or to like discern something in that person. But I feel like he shows me certain things about people to, number one, pray for them, and number two, know how to lead them well.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of shows me like where I can see a strength or even a weakness so I can just help kind of guide them in the right direction, but not to like harp on them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's taken me a few years to realize that because I think at first I would see certain things and it would irritate me.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't be a good leader and be constantly irritated at people.
Yeah.
You know?
And I love a thought from your journal, too, that if you lack flexibility, you often lack compassion.
Yes. You do. Yeah.
Yeah. And you just kind of mentioned, too, that if you're not flexible, it's often a sign of legalism.
Yes. You're very legalistic.
And really, the parable
sorry,
of the parable of the wineskins that Jesus was talking about, that's really talking about the new covenant being ushered in.
Mm-hmm.
And Jesus realizing that people are going to gravitate towards the old.
Yeah.
And even a lot of the New Testament, a lot of Paul's writings is like, you know, oh, foolish Galatians, why are you going back to the old?
Yeah.
You know, laws, like people are gravitating towards the old. And something that Pastor Lawson says that I think is really profound about this is like there was a glory to the Old Testament.
Yeah.
And that's
why. Yeah, and they're like, go ahead. Sorry. Yeah. I don't want
to. And that's why some people gravitate back towards that, back to performance, back towards legalism, because there was a glory to it. But there's a greater glory now.
Yeah.
By being righteous through faith in Jesus.
Yeah.
And but a lot of times people do gravitate towards the old. And, you know, and God has done awesome things at different periods of time, you know, and he's done different things in my life, too, in my 39 years of living, where I can look back and say, you know, that was a really profound thing that was happening when I was 15 years old. But I can't live
in that. Stuck in that. Yeah.
Stuck in the past.
Mm-hmm. It's you important. Know,
yeah, some people get stuck in the past because through shame or through
or
guilt. Or some people get stuck in the past because something awesome did happen, mm-hmm. but they keep going back to that and they're missing out on what God's trying to do now in their life.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, even so what I've kind of noticed about worship, and again, a lot of people don't realize that I oversee the worship ministry, so I don't get a whole lot of, you know, you need to do this song, you need to do this song kind of stuff, but I do get some. But generally, when people, what I've noticed working with different worship leaders, people gravitate towards styles and songs that really impacted them when they were first really turned on for Jesus.
Yeah.
So if people got saved, you know, if they're like boomers that got saved during the Jesus movement of the 70s, they'll gravitate towards, hey, we should do
just any song that
like we should do Keith
era.
Green.
Yeah.
And I love Keith Green. And every now and then we might do a throwback to Keith Green, but generally we're not going to just do Keith Green all the time. And some people might love that.
Yeah.
Just straight up 70s, 80s worship at church, because that's when they were really impacted by God.
Yeah.
But there's new things happening.
Well, and you have to realize you're not just catering to one generation.
Yeah.
We have boomers, Gen X, millennials, Gen Z, and now Alpha.
And it's important to understand when something is a style versus like truth. So a lot of people, like, you know, you have certain styles of music that you like,
mm-hmm.
and I have certain styles of music that I like.
Yeah.
You know, I like, you were listening to a jazz singer the other day in the car, and that's a style that Pastor Heather does not appreciate.
Like a bunch of racket.
But some people, you know.
I told him, I'm like, this overstimulates me, this music.
Some
who
people,
was it?
It's,
it was
Bobby McFerrin.
Yeah.
He wrote Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Okay, but I like that
song. But he does a lot of jazz
he
stuff.
He does this other stuff. It's like humming through the whole. It's like weird. But you and Ada love it. It's all that matters.
If you lack flexibility, you often lack compassion.
Yeah.
Yeah, and something I'm kind of learning too, being a dad, being a youth pastor, like these 12-year-old kids, 13, they have some weird styles in terms of clothing or music or language, phrases, some things that I find kind of silly and goofy. Mm-hmm. But I can't, you know, lack compassion towards.
Oh, that's really good, because me and Michelle were just talking about this on, was it Saturday? Yeah, we're talking about the trends of the kids now, like
the alpha
in high
alpha generation. It's kind of like,
well, yeah, or like
15.
Like the sophomores of high school now.
Okay.
But just how they like kind of distressed clothes. I am actually wearing more of like a distressed style of shirt, but how some of the kids like certain things, but how we should just be flexible with compassion.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you know, if they're not doing drugs and they're not doing, if they're making good grades, they're not doing drugs, they're not dabbling in all this bad stuff, and they're good kids, who cares what kind of clothes they wear? As long as they're, like, modest. Okay.
Yeah.
Keep yourself covered up. Okay. Nobody needs to see that. Yeah. But anyway, so there are, I was going to say rules, but that's not what I'm talking about.
I want to skip to James 3.
Okay.
James 3:17. You picked up a really awesome phrase here in James 3:17. I'm going to read the phrase, and we'll read what's around it.
Okay.
But there's a key phrase here that James tries to bring about. I actually love the book of James. It's so black and white.
Yeah.
And in context, you can see how black and white he was. He actually was the first pastor of the church in Jerusalem. So he had a lot of, obviously, a lot of Jewish believers, but even some Gentile believers there at his church.
Yeah.
And James, actually later in the book of James, when he's talking about faith, he uses two examples of faith. He uses Abraham. So every Jewish person would love the example of Abraham. Mm-hmm. And even us today, we know that he's the father of faith. But the other person he used as an example of faith was Rahab, mm-hmm. who was not Jewish.
Yeah.
She was a harlot, a prostitute. But he uses her as an example of faith right alongside Abraham. And he did that intentionally because it's not about your race or your background. It's about faith. Mm-hmm. So he's very blunt in how he communicates, but James 3:17, this phrase he uses is willing to yield. How this is actually part of faith, part of trusting God. A lot of people actually aren't flexible, aren't willing to yield because they're not trusting God.
Yeah.
They don't want to get, you know, be put out of their comfort zone. They have some insecurities. They have to do things the way that I think they should be done. So we're going to read in James.
You're going to start at 13?
Verse 13, yeah.
3:13.
Yeah, James 3:13-18. This is a great study. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? So he's just saying, I'm gonna show you who's wise, who's mature amongst everyone I'm preaching to. Let him show by good conduct that his works are done in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and self-seeking in your hearts, do not boast and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. Like he's very sharp in how he's talking about people who are very divisive, people who are inflexible, stiff-necked, hard-hearted, don't get along. It's my way or
I'm
quitting.
That's earthly, demonic wisdom.
You know, we were talking about this the other day, but you know, a lot of people
hate
cussing, and we don't. You know, cussing isn't good, but gossip is so much worse. Language mm-hmm. for a believer, gossip and slander, mm-hmm. like
it's murdering with your words.
Well, it's actually hurting other people. You know, if you went around just saying the F word, you know, it's off putting. You shouldn't do that. But like to gossip and to slander and so much of the body of Christ,
you're murdering someone.
Just go hop on YouTube.
Yeah.
Look at who's getting millions of views for gossiping and slandering today in the body of Christ. Like that is so much worse. So he's talking about, you know, what kind of wisdom is going on here. He says this stuff is earthly, sensual, demonic. He says in verse 16, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willingness to yield. I love that. Willing to yield. Full of mercy and good fruits without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So we're talking about flexibility, but being willing to yield. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't have to have it my way. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people have this kind of thought, like, it's my way
being
or the highway.
Yeah.
Yeah, having a spirit of gentleness about you. And flexibility really shows that you trust God.
Yeah.
And it's not just about you, but hey, I trust God. God can do something outside of my normal preference, my normal methodology.
Yeah.
I'm going to be willing to yield. Mm-hmm. And I love that you included this passage of scripture from Proverbs 3, mm-hmm. 5 and 6. Do you want me to read it or do you want to?
It's lean not into your own understanding.
Yeah, I'll go there. I'll read it.
Well, let's see who can get there faster. It's a race.
I was giving you the opportunity to go there first.
Oh. Who's going to win? Oh, I won.
All right, you go.
Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he shall direct your paths. Mm-hmm. That was the very first scripture God ever spoke to me. Like Rhema word spoke to me. How are we doing?
We're good.
And that's so true. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. That means be flexible. Mm-hmm. Don't try to figure everything out on your own. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And I think you have something to say about this.
Yeah, that word there, in all your ways, acknowledge him. The Hebrew word there, acknowledge him, it's the Hebrew word yada, which means to know deeply, intimately.
Mm-hmm.
So in the Bible, when it says Adam knew Eve and she conceived,
mm-hmm.
he knew it. It's that word yada. So it means to have a deep,
yeah,
you know, intimacy with someone. So in all your ways and everything that you do,
you need to know him.
God has to be there.
You need to acknowledge
he has to be
it.
At the center of it.
Yeah.
And
if you want God to do something in your life too. Like you might be saying, I just don't know what my purpose is. I don't know, like, I feel like God's called me to do something big, but I don't know what it is. Well, you need to acknowledge him.
Yeah.
And in all your ways, you need to know him. You need to have a relationship with him. And as you do that, you'll birth whatever it is that God wants to do in your life.
Yeah.
Isn't that so easy? Christians make it so hard.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be hard. We're supposed to live from a place of rest.
Yeah.
Not constantly trying to do all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And being rigid.
Yeah.
And legalistic, you know? It's mm-hmm. really not hard. People make it really hard.
We were both talking about this earlier about just different times we realized that we had to be flexible.
Oh gosh, every day I'm realizing this.
But like some big decisions in life.
Yeah.
We had to be flexible on. Like when you moved here.
Mhm.
You had certain ideas about how your life would go.
Oh, yeah. When I first moved here, I thought, I have my money. I have my own house now. I'm going to Bible school. I have a son. I have everything that I need. I don't want anything else, you know. And I had to be flexible when God put you in my life. And he's like, you know, you need to marry this guy. And I'm like, no, I don't. I don't need to marry anybody, because it's just me and you, God. You know, I'm trusting you. And I was actually so excited for once in my life to actually be just completely on fire, all out for God. Mm-hmm. And then here you come, mm-hmm. trying to just wreck my whole life in a good way. But you know what? God knew exactly what I needed.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to be flexible and actually trust him,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah. Well, and even after we've been married a couple of years, you found an old journal of mine.
Oh, yeah, this is so funny.
From when I was like 18 or 19.
Yeah.
Maybe I was 20. But in this journal, I think I heard a teaching where someone said you need to, it was probably a fine teaching, but not completely 100% true in all facets. But I think I heard a teaching that you need to like list off exactly what you're believing for in a future spouse. Like even to the eye color and to the personality and to everything. And I think I had a list of a dozen or so things that I was believing for by faith in my future spouse. And you read that, you know, like 20 years later or 15
years
later.
Yeah, it was hilarious because I was none of them.
You were none of those things.
None of them.
And, you know, sometimes I'm like, thank God that he didn't answer my prayer exactly how I wanted something
to happen. Well, yeah, and that's the way I feel too, thank God. And, you know, as you're sitting here talking about this, how many times have you heard, like, people say, when you sow a seed, like when you give, you need to write down what you're believing God for when you sow that seed?
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes people's hearts aren't right.
Yeah.
And what they're believing God for. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think sometimes it causes a stumbling block for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I've just been thinking about like money lately and just like people being rich and all these things. Like I feel like I'm just a very rich person. Like I don't have like a closet full of designer clothes or designer shoes or whatever, but I don't really care, mm-hmm. you know? I know that if I ask God for something like that, he'd probably give it to me, but like I just don't care. But I think people just get wrapped up in the gift more than they are wrapped up in God.
Mm-hmm.
They're wrapped up in more of what he can do for them instead of just being content in him.
Mm-hmm.
And that's so sad to me because I just feel like God is like trying to draw people because he loves them so much and he wants them to understand his love for them. But they are just so wrapped up in it. Well, if I don't have this, 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 and this, that means God doesn't love me. Or that means I'm not blessed. And that's the reason why the prosperity message gets so warped mm-hmm. is because people believe that people that teach that God wants you to be prosperous are teaching you to go after the things and not God. And that is just robbery for a person.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's robbing them of just a full life, really.
Yeah, and I've really learned, too, you seek him first.
Yes.
And it's a true seeking. It's a true trusting. It's a true
but
God.
But some people are.
I'm flexible.
Yeah.
Like, I might have thoughts. I might. There's an old song that says, like, Jesus, precious Jesus, all I have and am and ever hope to be, all of my ambitions, hopes, and plans, I surrender these into your hands. Mm. And
is that an old hymn?
I don't
know. Or is it just like an old song?
You know what? I sang it. I played it once. One time several years ago, I was playing piano at the end of service, mm-hmm. and I was playing it on the piano, and Chad Tipps knew what song it was. Oh. Chad Tipps is a phenomenal electric guitarist who comes to church here, and really cool guy, but he knew that song. But it's just always touched me that all of my ambitions, hopes, and plans into your hands, mm-hmm. you know, I surrender these into your hands.
Yeah.
And that's so true. You know, and when God brought you into my life, it's when I had to surrender, you know, that aspect of my life to Him. God, I'm not going to worry about this anymore. I'm just going to trust you.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to just be so worried about dating or finding
but
a
you,
wife.
But you probably had to be flexible too when you met me, because I was a widow and I had a 4-year-old. And that might not have been like what you thought.
No,
your
that
ideal
wasn't that
spouse
wasn't in my
was
list
be.
Of 10 things.
That wasn't
like
in your
I want
list
to marry
of 10
a,
things.
You know. But
you were able to recognize.
It was a God thing.
Yeah, you were able to recognize.
And I can be flexible.
Yeah, so basically being flexible is just trusting God.
And recognizing,
and
too.
And recognizing.
When He's doing something.
Yeah, well, and recognizing that, like, it's going to be out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
And that's why we're trying to tell you to be flexible.
And also, at the end of the day, when you are flexible, mm-hmm. and you do allow God to do something, you're way better off than if you had done it the
better.
Way you wanted to do it.
Yeah, you'll be so blessed.
Yeah.
So.
And kind of in conclusion here, Proverbs 16:9. A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps.
Praise
and
God.
I'm just so glad that God has directed my steps.
Mm-hmm,
and,
me too.
Man, it all just comes down to trusting in God.
Mm-hmm.
And He's going to call you out of your comfort zone.
Yeah.
I kind of like that title we have for the message today. The comfort zone is not the end zone.
Yeah.
You know,
you always want to be in the end zone too. You want to be in the end zone getting ready to score a point.
Yeah.
You don't want to be living in the comfort zone.
Yeah. You should be willing to be stretched and to grow and to, mm-hmm. yeah, just be on the lookout for what God's doing, because He's always doing new things.
Yeah.
And He's calling new people. And unexpected people. He loves to use unexpected people.
Yeah, and I just feel really strongly to say this too right now. You might be saying, well, you know, I don't really have a group of people that I'm around. Like, I live out here in the middle of nowhere and I don't have a good church. You know, when you get in your car to go to the grocery store or wherever, just ask God, God, put me in a situation where I'm going to have to step out of my comfort zone. Mm-hmm. And I'll guarantee you, He will put you in the path of somebody that He will highlight and you can actually minister to. Like yesterday, we were at Cheddar's. Yeah, and God told me that our waitress wasn't in the best mood at first. I could tell she was super busy. And I tried to talk to her a couple of times. She was really short, but then she came back later and she was like, I'm so sorry. I was really busy. I wasn't trying to be rude. And I was like, no, it's okay. But then after we got our food and toward the end of our meal, God told me I should give her some money. But really what God wanted me to do was pray for her. Like, I want you to give her some money, but I want you to pray for her. And I just felt like that was like the stronger point. And I gave her that money and I said, can I pray for you? You know, and I prayed for her and I could just tell that really meant a lot to her. And you know, that we're supposed to be the salt and the light. Mm-hmm. And that's not always comfortable to be the salt and the light. But you know what? It gets easier the more you do it.
Mm-hmm.
And you can be flexible. You can ask God to call you out of your comfort zone no matter where you're at, no matter if you're at church, out in public, wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And you should be, right?
Yeah.
Andrew Womack says, if you're living on the edge, you're taking up. If you're living, what does he say? If you're not living on the edge, you're taking up too much space. Mm. And I think that's very true. That's cool. So anyway, we want to exhort you to be flexible. Stay flexible. And I'm going to believe that God is going to show you some things this week.
Mm-hmm.
And when He does, you come back here and you put it in the comment section because we want to hear about it. We want to hear your testimonies. Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, that's very true. Awesome. Well, thanks for joining us today. We love you guys. It's
We're
really
gonna
cool
pray
to see.
For you.
Yeah, definitely. I think everyone's
what?
Enjoying this from the comfort of their own homes.
Oh, from the I'm enjoying it with the comfort of my energy drink right now. So that's good.
Anyways, yeah, why don't you pray for everyone?
Yeah, Lord, we just thank you so much for this time together, God. We thank you for your word. We thank you that you are here helping us, that you're with us, you're encouraging us, and you are calling us out of our comfort zone. And so, Lord, as you do that this week, as we hear you, we are going to be flexible, and we're going to go and do exactly what you tell us to do, Lord. And we just thank you so much that you have given us the ability, and you have given us the oil of joy, and it's going to keep us flexible in the days to come, Lord. And we just thank you so much for the opportunity to be able to minister online to people. And we just thank you for this day in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I bumped into the microphone. That was awesome. A little awkward.
Well, we'll see you guys again very soon.
Yeah, see you next time. Yep.